Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
On The Advertising Show, Ray Schillins, Brad Forsyth, back with you for another weekend here in 2 hours of nonstop fun. Well, we stop. We stop for commercials from time to time. But other than that, it's just fun, okay? The Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show, being a big radio midgets production, is your guarantee. It's kind of like having the seal that the UL or something like mm-hmm. that? The Good Housekeeping seal.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think we get the Good Housekeeping seal.
Well, we haven't submitted it yet.
That's true. Okay, well, maybe we should. Hey, we've got a couple of folks coming your way today, and we're going to be joining and talking to Mark Walsh out of New York. Mark is the Chief Executive Officer of Progress Media and its subsidiary, Air America. No, it's not an airline, okay? If it's Air America, would Mark like be the captain?
You know, I visited a website, plugged in Air America, and it's a paintball website. And, of course,
paintball website?
Yes, yes. And,
isn't that special?
Mark clarified that it's airamericaradio.com.
Okay.
And if you've been hearing about the new liberal radio network coming to market,
mm-hmm.
he's the guy, and that's the company.
This is good.
Yeah.
Second hour, we've got Ask Veppling. Ask Veppling. You're saying, what did he say? Ask Veppling.
Sounds like a call-in show.
Sounds like Ask Jeeves. Ask Veppling is the CEO and creator of Adland, and we're going to be talking to Ask in where?
Copenhagen.
Copenhagen.
Denmark.
Copenhagen.
Copenhagen. Denmark.
Potato, potato.
Right.
So we've got Ask for hour number two. And Mark for hour number one.
And
we've got
a
lot of features here, too. My goodness, we've got Mary Lou. Mary Lou's going to be talking today about, we can't just let it go. It's the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and it's the event, and it's called The Naked Truth. So
you
go from there. It's not a locker room scene, okay?
No.
It's on the 50-yard line at halftime, probably.
This being the medium of the mind, you just took it away from me there for a moment.
Did I really?
Yeah.
I'll put it back then. Top 10 list. Patrick Meyer joins us in hour number two. We got Andy Borowitz, too. Talking about the Democratic candidates, too. Now, Mark, being a Republican, will be interested in this, too, as well.
Right.
So we can move on here.
Yeah, it's interesting because we were talking off air a couple of days ago, and, you know, when you think about liberal radio, most people, I think, automatically believe that we're talking politics and all of that, and certainly
right.
they'll talk that, but it's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's we're going to talk to Mark about that and what it means. I wanted to make an announcement. Ray and I flipped a coin before we went on the air to see who was going to make this announcement, and I happened to win.
You just happened to have it on your desk there.
Right, so I'm going to let all of our listeners know Ray and I are having a special announcement, and we're going to just go right out and say it.
See?
Ray and I, a couple nights ago, were engaged.
Oh, geez.
And we're not doing it for publicity.
No, you got engaged to Rosie, okay?
Well, no, wait a minute. Rosie's my best man in the wedding, and you've chosen Ellen.
Best gal.
Anyway, you know, last week we did a costume malfunction, which you did, which was very interesting, but we didn't
Thank you.
Any publicity off of it.
No, because it's radio and you couldn't see it.
True.
We didn't think that far ahead.
Well, you wouldn't believe what I saw.
Should have had a camera. Should have had a camera. Right now, let's check in with Mary Lou, who probably wouldn't approve of what we're saying, you know?
And now, stay tuned for What Women Want. Insights from listening to your most powerful customer. Here's Mary Lou Quinlan.
The buzz of the Super Bowl was all about Janet Jackson. Without exposing my own reaction to her half-top show, I'd like to put the spotlight on another show and tell that's being ogled in 20 million living rooms every single week. It's the female cast of The Apprentice. This blockbuster TV show has eyeballs glued to see which of the feisty cast will force the Donald to say, "You're fired." I admit I'm addicted to it. Maybe because getting fired is a lot scarier and closer to home than eating worms on Tarantula Island. But I wonder, why isn't there more moral outrage at the fact that while the guys wear Banana Republic basics, the women flaunt cleavage, belly tops, and stilettos? More sexist than that, the gals use their sexuality to win. The show should be called Females Behaving Badly. They fight, they carp, they whine. What does The Apprentice say about women in business today? Talent is fine, but booty is better? No matter how smart they are, We still want our babes to be babalicious. And if good looks are topped off with a little bad attitude, woohoo! The next time someone talks about how far media images of women have come, ask why the most popular show of the season isn't about female ambition. It's about bimbo ambition. Oops, are we in prime time?
This has been What Women Want from The Advertising Show with your host, Mary Lou Quinlan, CEO of Just Ask a Woman. To learn more about what women want, visit justaskawoman.com.
This is Mary Lou Quinlan reminding you, if you want to know what women want, stop selling and start listening.
Mary Lou's a little frisky today, isn't
yes,
she?
Yes, she is.
Yes, sirree.
It's cold up there in New York.
It's cold up there. Cabin fever?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
Mary Lou.
Well, she makes a point. My question would be, I believe they're choosing their own clothing. It's not a costume dictated by the producers, I don't believe. So
I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they are not.
Maybe the women, maybe her point is, she has several, that women today, young women, mm-hmm. use what they need to do to get the order.
Sure, and that's not today. That's all the time.
Well,
that's,
it's been that way for a while, I believe, yeah.
As I recall, a lady by the name of Eve, way back when.
One of the best Apple salesmen you'll find.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It wasn't a Washington Apple. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. Anyway, we've got Mark Walsh joining us here shortly. We've got a couple of minutes here before we do a break. And Ask Vepling from Copenhagen, Denmark.
Right.
Yes, where it's also cold. Mm. It's proverbially winter there all the time, isn't it?
And we're going to have extra lighting for her next hour.
Oh, is it dark there, too?
I think it's one of those countries that stays dark for a long time during the winter.
Oh, like Alaska.
Kind of, yeah.
Which is not a country.
True.
What do you got there? You got something to
say? Well, you know, Ball State conducted a media study recently, and apparently Arbitron has taken an interest in this study that found major underreporting in traditional phone and diary audience measurement techniques. The study, which is in some cases found more than twice the media use than traditional methods, had concluded that the industry should develop technology to measure a multitasking world. Apparently, the professor behind this study says that Arbitron has contacted him and wants to talk to him about his findings, and a number of media companies and ad agencies are also interested. So I don't know about you, Ray, but, you know, this aha moment for the folks at Arbitron and the academia world here, does that strike you kind of like a two-week aftershock, you know, 2 weeks after the earthquake? I mean, is this news?
Yeah.
Multitasking? We need to measure this? How long have we been talking about television kind of used as a background anymore?
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That's kind of how it is, right?
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's interesting that that this was an item that came off the wire here as recent as late February.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's time to wake up, guys,
mm-hmm.
and get on with things. We don't have time to do anything else here in this segment, but we will tell you that Mark Walsh is going to be joining us, the Chief Executive Officer of Progress Media, and its subsidiary, Air America, Liberal Talk Radio Network. Mark is on with us next. Ask Vepling will be joining us in hour number two of the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all. On a highway or a road along a levee.
Well, that was way back when they used Dinah Shore to sell Chevrolets, and she did a pretty doggone good job of that, too, as a matter of fact. And she sold soap, and she sold Burt Reynolds.
Those days are coming back now with
the music,
Michael
yeah.
McDonald for MCI and others.
Yes. Yeah, very interesting. Anyway, it's the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings along with Brad Forsyth in our two-part series today. It's Mark Walsh joining us this first hour, Ask Vepling out of Copenhagen, Denmark. We'll find out how to say that right.
You're going to have to choose a pronunciation, Ray.
I kind of like saying it both at the same time, okay? Mark is a chief executive officer of Progress Media. You heard us talk a little bit about that, and its subsidiary, Air America. Air America is a liberal talk radio network slated to go live in major markets this spring, 2004. He's worked in the technology and media businesses since his graduation from Union College. He was the anchorman and news director for a CBS television station in West Virginia, and directly after Union, then went to the Harvard Business School for his MBA. Worked for a number of years at Home Box Office, New York, HBO, as head of new business development for the HBO and Cinemax brands. In 86, he joined the online information industry as VP and general manager of CUC International's online group. And it goes on and on here. It's pages long. I mean, goodness sakes, this thing weighs about 3 pounds.
Because his publicist wrote that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Three pages.
Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Actually, my mother wrote it, but she validated every claim in there. So.
Is she good? Okay.
Sorry for the
line. Oh, yeah. Mark was a good boy.
Ray thinks he called you when you worked at HBO to subscribe to that service many years ago, but I told him you...
No, Mark called me. It was one of those calls before I got call blocker.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Mark, we've been hearing a lot about the upcoming Air America Radio Network, I guess, which was just named here within the last, gosh, what do I recall, 45 days or so that you announced that?
Yeah, sounds right.
And I'm curious, where did the idea come for a liberal radio network? Seems obvious to me that we would have such a thing, but how was the idea come about?
Well, about 15 months ago, two Chicago-based venture capitalists, a married couple, Shelley and Anita Drobny, D-R-O-B-N-Y, originally announced that they were going to do this. And they hired a few executives from the radio industry to kind of help them suss out what was needed and were in sort of fundraising mode for some time. They ran up against some hurdles and some boundaries in their fundraising efforts when I and some investors and some business folks that I had become involved with heard the pitch. We actually said, well, we have already raised some money, so we can buy you out, which we did. They're still shareholders, but we effectively bought out the Drobny's efforts and accelerated those efforts with more capital and more people. And that, what I'm describing, our buyout and our acceleration has all happened really since last November.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of a hiatus from the 14 or 15 months ago announcement that got a lot of press attention between that and this past November. November till now, we've been very, very, very busy little beavers building out infrastructure, getting stations, obviously hiring talent, et cetera.
I recall reading in your bio you were working for a VC firm. Is that how that connection got hooked up with the folks in Chicago?
You mean with the Drobnys?
Yes.
No, actually, it's a much longer, far more boring story. I did not know the Drobnys from the venture capital community.
I
met them through a friend of a friend.
Yeah, and you talk about bringing a radio network to market, and certainly I think most of our listeners don't have a clue as to what that involves. There's a lot of heavy lifting, I would imagine. Give us kind of an overview of what's taken place as you brought this idea from an idea to where we are today.
Well, a short piece of background. The radio industry would argue, if somebody from traditional radio operations, station level or syndication, would argue that we are doing everything the exact reverse of how it should be done in radio.
Isn't it fun?
And I would argue that's a pretty good sign, because I mean no disrespect, but the radio industry is one of the more change-resistant elements of the media, the panoply of the media marketplace. So being high change oriented is a good thing for this. So that being said, very few people in radio would say that you can get a lot of stations, build a whole broadcast day, go out with one day with everything live, and try and change the marketplace and get a sales effort started to actually sell time on it. You can't multitask and do that all at once.
Right.
But that's what we're trying to do. We are launching in the four largest media markets in America with full power AM stations with a full broadcast day from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. With six different shows hosted by multiple talented people. We're building both a local sales force in each market of salespeople beating the street and meeting local businesses who want to buy, because radio is a very local revenue generation oriented medium. We're also launching a national network sales effort. We'll be syndicating our full broadcast day to a few stations that are not in the top four markets who want our full day, a la syndicating or affiliating with a network. And we'll even probably be syndicating chunks of our shows in some markets that we are not in, where the radio station that's taking the syndication has a non right-wing sort of bias to their programming, i.e. Mm-hmm. our programming won't stand out. It'll be in a sort of a welcome home. And to do all that at once, I guess to your question, means that a lot of things have to happen at the same time, A and B. A lot of things have to happen sequentially. And we're not without our hiccups, but we do feel very, very, very happy and kind of confident that we're on track for a spring launch, and that that we have a very funny and entertaining and informative product.
So you mentioned top four markets: New York, L.A., Chicago, and the fourth would be
San Francisco.
Yeah, and
big cities in blue states, as they used to say.
Right. you mentioned a spring launch. I've seen written end of March. Do we have a launch date nailed down yet?
Well, end of March is a great date. I won't, just for your listeners, I can't completely hang my hat on that. But, yeah, we're looking for an end of March or certainly super early in April go-live day.
Mm-hmm. And being a new radio network that everyone's clamoring about, and certainly people, those on the right, are willing to take some's taking a wait and see. Many are naysayers, saying that it'll never fly. And you've gotten your share of publicity, I must say, and no surprise here. But from an advertising standpoint, do you have a campaign created and ready to break for your launch, or are you going to let it just kind of roll out on its own?
Well, I doubt I'd be invited on the show if I was so stupid to not say, to not answer that the right way, which is, yeah, we do have a lot of very exciting promotional campaigns kind of underway, mm-hmm. i.e. in the creative stage, both sort of guerrilla tactics, street stuff, handing out coffee mug sleeves to the commuters coming into the Bay Area from the boats and at Grand Central. I mean, all the traditional things and maybe some untraditional things that a lot of new product launches would typically engage in, both face-to-face, people-power-oriented stuff, obviously media buys, both TV and other.
You doing this in-house, Mark, or you have an agency?
No, we have I guess at last count, we have, I think, five different agencies working on this.
Wow.
And, yeah, I'm not sure that I'm proud of that, by the way, but wow. No, it's actually, so far, knock wood, they're working together really well, and I have I suspect, because they've said this, but I suspect it's even a little deeper than that, that some of the agencies that are working with us, I mean, they're charging us money. It's not a labor of love, but the folks on the teams have a deep sort of psychic affiliation with what our overall goal is, and I think that's really bringing us some great work.
Well, and you talk about several firms. I imagine it's a local orientation to the market that you're launching in that requires maybe some local effort there, which is not that bad of an idea, just a coordination nightmare for whoever's in charge of that, I would imagine. You mentioned a national sales effort. Is that in-house, or do you have a national rep firm, or who's repping you guys?
I'm probably failing you as a guest, and I apologize. We're interviewing the national, sort of many of the usual suspects for national rep firms now, and I think we'll probably announce who our partner is before the 31st of March. You know, as you might imagine, we have no book, no numbers, no nothing. I mean, we're sort of this is we're jumping off the diving board here. So the confidence with a national rep firm that we will have a positive product has to be strong. For instance, we're putting the finishing touches, but we have a raw version of a demo reel, or it's really actually a video, but it's got examples of what our various talents are going to do. We put them in a studio and taped them. And when folks see that, they go, wow, this, at least so far.
Hey, Mark, let's take a break here on the advertising show. Just a moment. We've got a break for the Wacky World of Marketing with our executive producer, Bruce Abbott, and we'll be back with Mark Walsh, thing is called Air America. We'll be back in just a minute.
And now, it's time for the Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to the net, where the world's most popular web search engine has issued a legal warning to a copycat website that searches for adult material. The management of Google is demanding Booble.com change its name and identity. The Booble.com page does look similar to Google, but under its logo it says it's an adult search engine, not affiliated with any other search engines. In fact, Booble insists their site is merely a harmless parody. And the front page says, we have a sense of humor, and asserts its First Amendment rights. The entire universe gets the joke. Booble.com says only a lawyer could say Booble without smiling. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true, wacky world of marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
We are the men of Texaco. We wear the Texaco star. We like to think of Texaco. We've got everything for your car. We've got wipers for your windshield, belts and plugs and tires too.
And basically what you get from Texaco these days is gas for close to $2 a gallon.
And some chips.
Maybe. For $2 a pack.
And a cold Coke.
Maybe for $2 a can. Right, exactly.
Could you get the windshield, please?
Yeah, right. Get your windshield. I get your windshield. Mark Walsh, our special guest. Mark is the CEO of Progress Media and its subsidiary, Air America. Air America, liberal talk radio network, slated to go live in major markets. You heard it here in the spring of 2004. Mark, thanks for being on The Advertising Show.
Great to be here.
Yeah, and I would imagine we're teasing you about your website, airamericaradio.com. I would imagine anyone wanting to keep tabs on the launch of your radio network can log on, and you will find updates there online, I would imagine. Right, Mark?
That's right. It's a relatively skeletal website, airamericaradio.com, and I know we have a mix-up. The Air America itself goes to a different company. I know we were giggling about that at a different time.
Right.
And who knows? Maybe he'll hold us up for some outrageous fee to buy the URL.
Well, I'm thinking if you hear a lot of commercials for the first 6 months about a paintball company that's just recently changed their name, you might figure that out. You know, as you were talking about bringing to market a new radio network, I'm curious in the business plan stage if you did a little legwork in shopping the idea around to Madison Avenue and advertisers to see what kind of reaction they would have or if they would support such a radio network. Did you do that, Mark?
We did, to some extent. And I say that because you got to be a little bit nuts, I think, to sort of go with it as well. And what I mean by that is that I think in many media events that work out, there's an element of gut and there's obviously an element of backup with research. There's no question, as we spoke to both the agency, radio sales, and radio rep, some of our potential advertisers, particularly some of the early supporters we expect, the not-for-profits and some of the issue-oriented folks, the burning answer, sort of this impassioned answer always came across, which is, why is so much of radio dominated by right-wing talk A, B? Why did it fail before? And we have some thoughts on that we would pass to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, there was this undercurrent of enthusiasm for radio as an effective sales medium.
Right.
It is. I mean, radio works. We all know that. And it's clearly a part of the fabric of the American consumer experience, and I think always will be.
And your approach to liberal radio is not just going to be, as I understand it, an opposite side of the political spectrum of what you hear so much in conservative talk radio today. You and I were talking before today's show about how you're going to broaden the scope, and of course you will talk about politics or your talent people, folks will, but you will also be discussing other issues on air. Give us some idea. I know if you've heard, folks, about Al Franken joining a radio network, this is the one we're talking about, Air America, and I know you have other big name talent that were going to be joining your staff. Talk about some of the I think you mentioned six people you have lined up.
Well, we have six shows, and each one will have kind of an anchor voice and then some others. But let me get back to your first point. Look, I think Democrats are boring, and I am one. And we failed in the past because I think a lot of times Democrats were sort of wagging their fingers and saying, eat your vegetables, and sort of lecturing or hectoring. And it's very easy to make fun of those kinds of people.
Mm.
Point number one. Point number two is I think in the past we had Governor Mario Cuomo and Alan Dershowitz and Jim Hightower as our sort of radio spokespeople, and the shows did not do well. They were often surrounded by very, very strong and well-produced right-wing-oriented shows, so they sort of drowned in this sea of alternative or right-wing, you know, spew. And then I think lastly, everybody likes to laugh. And to your original point, we believe if we don't entertain, then we've failed,
mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two, if we don't entertain but give you some nuggets that let you fight back at the water cooler against the right-winger who says that Clinton did inhale, or whatever the, you know, whatever the message du jour is about from the RNC, then that's a good thing. And lastly, if we actually make you think while you're laughing about maybe there's a lot of pomposity and a lot of junk out there, be it with a D or an R next to your name, Democrat or Republican. I mean, one of our models, one of our employees, was the founding producer of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And I think what Jon Stewart does is absolutely first rate, because he and his team make fun of both sides. Now, the ratio is decidedly liberal, I would argue, but he doesn't not make fun of a Democrat. In fact, some of the great pieces I've seen made me laugh the most. Pinpricking the balloon, the sort of the buffoonery or the pomposity of a Democratic leader as well. So that idea of being maybe not balanced, but certainly pursuing making fun of people gently and sometimes not so gently, wherever they may reside, is kind of a core element. Number two, giving you some of these elements of education / data, maybe kind of wrapped in entertainment that you can use for your when you make a point with somebody who disagrees with you. And then number three, and as importantly, motivating the listener to do something about something that they feel strongly about. And that's where a lot of our web efforts, to get back to our website, address stuff, that a lot of our web efforts we think will go hand in glove with radio as an informational medium, the web as an activity medium. If radio is passive, the web is active, and we hope to obviously have a very robust relationship with our listeners for both active and passive listening. To your point on the talent, obviously, Al is midday, noon to 3. Al Franken, and he has two folks in the studio with him. Catherine Lamphere, who joins us from Minnesota Public Radio, very, very talented kind of newswoman, and a comedian / edgy comedian / producer named Billy Kimball, who's an old colleague of Al's, who's a very, very funny guy. Janine Garofalo is our nighttime host, 8 to 11 p.m. She'll have a fellow named Sam Cedar joining her. We have a 7 to 8 kind of wrap-up show with a guy named Marty Kaplan, who many may know as the founding guy for the Nightly Business Report at NPR.
And to find out who else, you're going to have to stay tuned, because we're going to have to take a quick break here.
That's true. In just a minute, Mark Walsh back with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Stay with us.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean, disturbingly healthy. This man dared to use two dabs. Now he's in trouble. We refuse to be responsible.
Brill Cream,
Brill Cream, Brill Cream.
This is the Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and our special guest today, final segment this hour, with Mark Walsh, Chief Executive Officer of Progress Media and its subsidiary Air America, a liberal talk radio network slated to go live major markets in this spring, in just a moments away. No, it's not moments away. It's more like days away.
Right.
There we go. Mark, we're back with you for one final segment. Thanks for being a guest on The Advertising Show.
Great to be here.
You know, right before the break, you were going through a list of your talent. Before we jump back into that, you mentioned you had brought over an executive from Comedy Central. Let's go ahead and mention that Liz Winstead, formerly the head of The Daily Show and creator of The Daily Show, will be, I guess, heading up your programming effort. But you were mentioning both Al Franken and Janine Garofalo, and who else did you have lined up for your network, Mark?
Well, actually, Liz is multitasking. She also has a show, as well as being head of comedy for us, the 9 to noon show, and she'll be joined by Chuck D, the rapper.
Uh-huh.
In the morning, we're adding some fresh voices, but one of our key talents is Mark Maron. He is a very, very funny observational comic. I mean, you know, wry observations, but aggressive observations on social issues and politics as well. I mentioned Marty Kaplan at the 7 to 8. From 3 to 7, we have Randy Rhodes, who currently has a talk show out of Palm Beach, West Palm Beach. And in that show, the station she's on also airs Rush Limbaugh, and she actually beats Rush, or her numbers are as strong or stronger than Rush. So we're very, very excited about her. I was actually a guest on her show
The
old days in the technology world, so now we have her as our afternoon drive-time anchor. So we're very psyched about the lineup.
And do I recall hearing, I thought Robert Kennedy was joining your...
Of course. Oops.
Yeah.
I failed you.
Yeah.
Robert Kennedy and his partner, a fellow named Mike Papantonio, have a Saturday show called Champions of Justice. I call it sort of Aaron Brockovich on the radio in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They'll attack an issue and figure out a way to fix it and kind of help people and then sail off to their next issue next week. So, yeah, he's one of our weekend talents.
Well, maybe in a couple months after you get the network launched, we'll have Robert on, and we'll pull that soundbite out and play it repeatedly so he'll know the CEO of the company has totally forgot about it.
That where do I send the check, guys, to make sure that doesn't happen?
I'll give you a home address of both Ray and
thank
I
you.
After
maybe
the
separate,
small
separate checks.
I
no,
yeah, we
no, lots of zeros, thank you.
Yeah. The you know, a lot's been said about, you know, the marketability of liberal radio, but, you know, I got to believe that anything that creates discussion. You know, for me, and Ray and I were talking about this off the air, you know, when you listen to conservative talk radio today, which is predominantly what's out there, you hear a lot of people calling in and basically agreeing with the host. And isn't it all about creating debate? And do you think, Mark, that your network and programs that compose your network will eventually make it to radio stations that maybe carry a Rush Limbaugh or a Bill O'Reilly?
Never say never. I think that will happen. I think Oscar Wilde once said the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. And what we hope happens is that our listeners will live in the gray. Rush's listeners live in the black and the white. And as you suggest to me, it's a seamless echo chamber where Rush says it, the listener knows what he's going to say, already agrees with it, nods his head vigorously, calls in and says, "I'm a ditto head, thank you for saying that."
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's great radio. Works for Rush. He's an incredible entertainer. But our listeners would always be the ones, I would argue, to say, well, why? You know, why do you believe that? Why does somebody that seems pretty smart not believe that? Why don't you have them on? Why don't you guys fight it out? Why don't you make me laugh? Why don't you make a joke about those who act like, I mean, just let's make this entertaining, but let's also challenge your assumptions. And I believe that in the bell curve that is all people on this planet, the elements of the bell curve that are being served by right-wing talk radio are so far into a, you know, standard deviations out, a lot of people who listen only listen because there's nothing else to listen to.
Right.
So I don't mean that we don't want to attract the tree huggers and that, you know, these ultra, ultra liberals. Nice to have them because advertisers may like the numbers, but I hope we get, and one of our goals is to get people that just don't know, but know that they're not getting everything from Fox or Rush or Sean or the list goes on, and maybe we're a better shot for them, and maybe we entertain them, and maybe they have a smile when they leave the car.
In less than 20 seconds, describe the brand of Air America Radio, if you would.
Air America Radio's job is to make you smarter, make you happier and funnier, and laugh a lot as you learn more about the issues that are truly important in America today that you're not hearing about.
That's funny. That's the same slogan as Viagra.
And the advertising show.
Well, I'll be doggone. Better check that again, Mark.
Yeah.
Mark Walsh, Air America, is coming to airwaves near you if you're in one of the major markets, media markets, actually. And we will be back in just a minute to wrap up this hour with the advertising show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Dippity-doo.
You.
Dippity-doo.
For setting your hair.
Dippity-doo.
Rollers.
Dippity-doo.
Easy, neat.
Dippity-doo.
No slip, no drip.
Dippity-doo.
Looks like you've got some dippity-doo in your hair today.
Oh,
looks nice.
You know, pass me that brush.
We had Brill Cream, now we got dippity-doo. We're just talking about Dipsy or whatever, right?
That'll teach you to drive with your top down, right?
That's right. That always feels good. It feels like you get a scalp massage or something.
Yeah.
Mark Walsh, our guest. Thanks again to Mark. And be looking at, the media to find out more about this when this does debut this spring for Air America. The Liberal Talk Radio Network slated to go live in the major markets. What did he say it was again? What markets?
Let's see. New York, L.A., Chicago, and San Francisco are the ones that they have actually gone in and either bought the station or bought the programming time. And then they have other stations that they're going to affiliate certain programs with. But I guess what, Ray? AirAmericaRadio.com would be a great place to visit.
Yeah, exactly. In the meantime.
Yeah.
And don't go to Air America unless you want to go paintball.
Right, AirAmericaRadio.com.
Yeah. Ask Veppling is on the way next hour. We've got Ask from Copenhagen. Denmark.
Denmark. That's not chewing tobacco, no.
No.
Right. Yeah, or snuff talked, or whatever that stuff is.
We talked about that, didn't we?
Off the air.
Every week we do the good and the bad and the ugly. And this week, is it good or is it bad or is it ugly?
Both.
Oh. Let's listen. Let's do that again, okay?
All right.
Let's do that again.
And now it's time for the badvertising item of the week.
That's a cute. Let's hear the week.
That's a buy one, get three free.
There it is.
Yeah.
Go for it. What you got?
Well, you know, reading the Wall Street Journal earlier in the week, and I came across an ad, a full-page ad, and I thought, you know, I'm going to read this. And I did it just as a consumer, and I thought, well, this is kind of cool. And basically, it's a beautifully worded ad, well-designed, not too much copy, but enough to keep the reader's interest and convey the advertiser's message. The ad itself introduces, it's by Exclusive Resorts, by the way, the ad introduces a new concept in vacation property ownership. And the reason this ad, Ray, gets this week's Badvertising Award is that it makes one crucial error.
And that is?
Well, it's not an uncommon error that many print advertisers make, and that is it has a weak call-to-action component. I'm surprised how many times advertisers either have a weak or no call-to-action component. The ad has all the elements, as I mentioned, of a well-designed on-strategy ad, but then fails at the most crucial point when the reader could be directed to do something that will connect them back to the advertiser, and they basically miss the mark, I think, totally, and not encouraging anything from the reader. In today's wired world, Ray, I mean, you tell me, but just offering an email address, in my opinion, is not enough. You got to give the reader some reason to visit your website, and it's not just a matter of, you know, including the URL, but, you know, really giving the consumer a reason to visit so that they will in turn receive something of value, whether that's content or whatever that might be. And for those that would maybe like to use the telephone and call, same thing. You've got to give people a reason to call that they're going to in turn get something of value in return for calling. So, you know, I think most people that are just given a phone number, they think that you're just trying to get them, you know, on the phone to pitch them or, you know, add my address to a database or whatever the case may be. The consumer, Ray, and we've said this over and over, is much more sophisticated today than not so many years ago. If your marketing fails when it doesn't give the consumer a legitimate reason to do something in response to your ad, you waste a lot of money. And you take that most end point of your ad, and you lose the deliverability of the consumer back to your company.
And so it doesn't matter what medium you use.
No, it doesn't. No. But in this case, print, and it was again, as you can see, right, a very well designed ad, and
it's a
great concept, new idea, nice copy, beautiful copy. Mm-hmm. But then at the end, it just says basically here: please accept our invitation to allow us to forward you an introduction to the properties.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about call for a video?
Mm-hmm.
How about a CD? How about log on for a full animated view of various resorts throughout the world? You know,
right.
Whatever.
No call to action whatsoever.
Yeah. So anyway.
Okay. And that was in what paper?
Wall Street.
Wall Street Journal.
Yep.
Okay. Osk Veppling on the way next hour here on the Advertising Show. Osk is CEO and creator of Adland. Now, what Adland is, it's an advertising rag site made by the ad grunts who populate it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what it says. The website has been around since 96. That's interesting. Didn't realize that. And has grown to become a multi-user system. Adland can be reached at adrag or ad-rag.com,
right.
Also commercial. Dasharchive.com. Osk is the person who's going to be joining us momentarily here on the Advertising Show.
All the way from Denmark. Do we have to speak louder?
No. We just use our GPS and zero right in on Osk, and we'll get her on the show here. This is real interesting. We've got about a minute here, but the marketers, this is an advertising age. It says marketers bite back as fat fight flares up. It's the release of two studies critical of kids' advertising has reopened a big fat argument in the industry. Are ads making kids fat? And I just don't believe that's to be.
Well, calories are making them fat, not ads.
Yeah, I don't believe that. Nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has changed from the time that you and I were young, and
well,
that was a long time ago.
There was only one size of fries. It was a single burger.
Right.
And it was a special thing when you got one.
I suppose.
Yeah.
And a supersized fries, I'm not sure that that's such a bad deal. And I also don't think that a fast food industry should ever elude itself to being
healthy. Anything but, yeah.
It's you don't eat French fries because they're good for you, or a burger with a bunch
and
of
by
stuff.
By the way, I'm going to a new chicken restaurant called Kitchen Fresh Chicken.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Very similar to Kentucky Fried.
How about
colors,
that?
Graphics, they're all the same.
Let's see.
Got an
lost
old
market
guy.
Share, need direction, come up with a new slogan.
Got an old guy named Colonel in the kitchen.
Advertising show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. Don't you dare go anywhere. Ask Beppling is next. This is a Big Radio Midgets production.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
On The Advertising Show, it is hour number two. Glad to have you back. And if you've just joined us, you're in for a treat. Our special guest this hour is Ask Veppling out of Copenhagen. And Ask will be talking about the things that she's got going on over there. It's ad-rag.com and commercial-archive.com. And we'll tell you a little bit more about Ask in just a moment. Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. We also have, for your listening pleasure, what I do with it there, Patrick Meyer. Patrick has his top 10 list, and this is not the Letterman top 10 list. This is Patrick's very own. So, we're back, and glad to be with you. We've got Andy Borowitz later on this hour as well.
You know, it's kind of funny. We were talking before today's show about how we got hooked up with Ask Veppling of Adland. Adland being the certainly one of the more outstanding websites based out of Europe, and all of the ad community in Europe visits that site frequently. But as a little aside to this whole thing, for many of those that do not know this, we mentioned this several weeks ago, but I did a Google on the Advertising Show, and my goodness, our website showed up on Adland's website, which again is ad-rag.com, and I had the opportunity to email Ask. Her pen name is Dabich. If you read anything on that website, anything pinned, Dabich is actually her.
Okay.
Am I letting something out of the bag there by saying that?
Well, it's too late now.
It is too late.
So you let it out.
But anyway, she and I were communicating, and she says she listens to the show all the time. And, gosh, what a great little connection to European ad community, and find out what in the world's going on in Europe in media and advertising and a bunch of other things.
Okay.
It should be a great interview.
And that's coming up next here on The Advertising Show. We've got Ask on the line right now. Did you see the new Tiger Woods commercial for American Express? Did you watch?
No,
did you
but
watch the
there's one that's relevant because he probably has an American Express.
Well, I'm sure he does.
He doesn't drive a Buick Rendezvous.
It's not blue. It's called American Express Black.
Probably
I'm sure.
The black version.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly. And that's not a racial slur. That's that is the black card.
By
right?
What is it? You have to be invited by invitation only.
You just have to spend one whole heck of a lot of money.
One whole $100,000.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And you get your very own black American Express card. He's parodying Caddyshack, which is perfect tie-in for him and the golf and everything.
Sure.
But you've not seen that.
No, I have not.
Need to catch that. It's good. It's well done.
One
of the best Tiger Woods integrated commercials I've ever seen.
You know, I was talking to someone that works at Neiman Marcus during the Super Bowl, and they were talking about somebody coming in with their Black American Express leading up to the Super Bowl in our home market here of Houston. It was the host of the Super Bowl. And they said they saw several Black American Expresses
really?
That week.
Really?
Yeah.
Their little personal assistants were right alongside inside the car.
Yeah, that's where Carl Malden delivers your statement personally, I think.
Well, it's been a long time since he's been around.
Hasn't
it?
Hasn't
he? My goodness.
But doesn't that go to show you? Show to go you. That you can remember these
good
things.
Job, yeah.
Yeah.
Will they say the same about Tiger in about 15 years?
We'll see.
Years? Maybe.
Wonder
yes,
if his
maybe
dad
no.
has an American Express.
Oh, I'm
that
sure.
has Tiger's name
I'm
on it.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tiger did. Well, Tiger just won this match play championship against Davis Love. So he's
Well, he doesn't
still
need
hot.
Any more money.
No, he doesn't. I don't think he plays anymore for money. It's just for titles. Mm. Let's check in with Patrick Meyer on The Advertising Show.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider, featuring Patrick Meyer.
I have to share with you something I saw in Ad Age recently. It's called the Top 10 List. It's a great way to show you that there's a quiet revolution that's going on. I'm going to pluck out a couple of the biggest stories and give you my take from a CMO standpoint as this revolution goes on. The first, Coke Classic to anoint Berlin. Big story, the Coca-Cola company stepping away from Interpublic. My take? No relationships are sacred. It's all about driving brand growth. And if the business isn't increasing and the advertising agency's just doing an okay job, they're out of there. There's so many other agencies to bring in. Next, Mad Dash. Upfront hits $9.3 billion. Hello, I think we're talking to ourselves. The upfront buy has become such an iconic component of advertising. Yet you talk to marketers, they're not happy with the upfront buy, doesn't deliver. They're looking for 360-degree ways to drive their business, and yet the agencies in a myopic way are focused on the upfront. Next, McDonald's Challenge, Win Love Back, the brand-new campaign from McDonald's. Big news. I think the bigger question is, don't you need a 360-degree effort to turn your business around? Don't you need to start with product, retail, the whole experience, and echo it out 360-degree way? I share these with you because it's reflective of what's happening in marketing. Marketers are demanding a whole new set of deliverables from their agencies and their marketing groups and thinking a whole different way. Now it's your turn. Jump into the revolution.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer, and remember, the marketing revolution has begun.
Interesting, interesting. Good stuff from Patrick Meyer on The Advertising Show. Is Ray Schillings, Brad Forsyth, and Ask Vepling out of Copenhagen joining us here momentarily. And ad site is Adland, right?
Ad-rag.com.
That's the place.
Yeah. Did Patrick miss seven others? He said he had top ten, and then he went to three.
Well, he paid for three.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll get the other seven next week.
For more, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this. Sprint and American Media launched a wireless edition of the National Enquirer. Not that we don't see that enough in our grocery lines.
Just what we need.
And Weekly World News on Sprint PCS Vision Service, the mobile tabloid news service, will feature daily updates, Ray, from both the National Enquirer and the Weekly World News. The service, and this is kind of interesting, will include breaking news, features, and celebrity scoops from the National Enquirer. I don't know about you, but
breaking news from the National Enquirer.
If I'm getting breaking news, I want it from the National Enquirer. Can you imagine Oprah just abducted by a UFO? I mean, you got to get that over your phone line. You can't wait to get home to hear this.
And, you know, there's a bunch of people that are just going to eat that up big time.
Well, and force-feeding her 24 hours a day was the second item that you would see coming across your phone line. But, you know, we're going to talk to Ask Vepling about how the phone systems over there and sending messages and all that, they're way ahead of us over there in Europe.
Oh, they always have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially up in that area where she lives.
Yeah. Really?
That kind of, how would we describe it, kind of the Netherlands area.
Cold and dark, and they spend a lot of money on time and technology, I guess.
I knew a guy.
And other things.
I knew a guy that worked in Pennsylvania, similar description.
Cold and dark. He worked in a coal mine?
Correct.
That could be real interesting. So we'll talk to Oscar in just a few moments on The Advertising Show. Subway can't seem to figure out what the heck it's doing. Did you see that? They said, this is interesting. It says, cheeky campaign had potential, but ads fell flat with Publix. So what they did is the advertising executives who were in charge of that used the Super Bowl to bring closure to the lousy ad campaign.
Oh, that would be an expensive way to do it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, wouldn't you like just want to get rid of it?
2.3. Yeah, I mean, they're doing the Atkins deal now. Did they mention the Atkins deal in that story?
I didn't see that in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
They said this is interesting. Any comic will tell you, this is good advice too if you're doing creative, will have to tell you that once you have to explain the joke, it's not funny.
Exactly.
Okay, so if you try and do something funny just because you want to make it funny, better make sure that everybody gets it, because people didn't get it.
We featured Subway in that campaign a few months ago.
Yeah.
And it was about the guy going through and saying something about needing to change something, and it was a spot that fell pretty flat.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now they're saying that the strategy was dead and the campaign had potential, but we let the joke overtake the strategy, and so they used the Super Bowl spot to end the campaign's humorous efforts. Pretty dumb. Why don't you come up with something new for the Super Bowl?
What a concept.
Yeah, bury the old place someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
On cable or something like that, right? Back in just a minute with Ask Vepling on The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
Men, nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated cheese.
On the Advertising Show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and boy, there's a classic spot. That's a real visual, isn't it, Brad?
Mm-hmm, yeah, shaving cream, wasn't it?
When you were a little kid?
I shaved anyway. It made me feel, you know, like an adult.
It's good that you shaved for the show this weekend, too. Appreciate that.
I know you and I were discussing how you used to shave, but I always thought, you know, legs and armpits were for women.
And sports guys, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Swimmers.
Uh-huh. We've got a special guest all the way from Copenhagen, Denmark, Ask Vepling, known to her sites, regular visitor sites, is Dabich, an actual name, it says here.
Yes.
He's the CEO and creator of Adland. Now, doesn't that sound like something like that ought to be on TV, Adland?
Maybe it will be coming.
TV
soon.
Land? There we are. Adland is an advertising rag site made by the ad grunts who populate it. The website has been around since 96. It has grown to become a multi-user system. Adland can be reached via the following domains. We'll repeat these and let you know where to find them, ad-rag.com and commercial-archive.com. Ask is a freelance director in advertising, art director in advertising. She graduated from Parsons School of Design in New York City, a division of the fully accredited New School University, before continuing her education at the School of Communications Arts in London. She's worked with the top agencies, BBDO, Euro, RSCG, Saatchi & Saatchi in Copenhagen, London, and Amsterdam. And today, it's actually tonight.
Over there.
Over there.
Yeah.
Over there. It's the middle of the night over there, and I understand you guys are partying or something like that, which is a wonderful thing to do.
Well, it's happy hour around here at this time.
There you go.
Well, it's happy hour every hour here at the Advertising Show. I know Ray's got a head on his drink over there. I don't know what it is.
Diet 7-Up.
Diet 7-Up.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. And
product placement.
Thank you. Yes. I wanted to ask you, 1998 for when you launched your, or was it 96?
96,
when you launched your website, Adland. How did you come up with the idea for Adland?
Well, it started with Badland. I was getting more and more annoyed with these ads that are literally copies of other award-winning ads.
Rip-offs.
Yeah, rip-offs. Sometimes they're rip-offs that are really, really obvious, and sometimes it's just the idea god that messes with people's heads, because the input will always affect the output, so it's not really that strange that some people come up with the same solution to the same advertising problem, but sometimes you just know that they ripped something off.
Right. And so
I just ranted about it back in 96 on the site.
Mm-hmm. And so you had, I assume, visitors from all over Europe that were throwing in their 2 cents, and that's kind of the interactivity of how your site works. Wouldn't you describe that?
Yeah, that's how it started. So I had to build in more interactivity. So now it's like all these users that can comment on anything. They can post their own news. They can submit their own rip-off ads. All that sort of thing.
Yeah, for those that may not be familiar, if you can, I've visited your site. Ray and I both have visited your site frequently, and I find it very interesting. And for those listeners that would like to get a little peek as to how the people across the pond, as they say over in Europe, are viewing the ad world, and we're going to talk about that during today's interview, give people a sense of what they would find at your website, ad-rag.com or Adland.
Well, Adland is all the news all the ad news that's not fit to print, and this would, of course, include commercials, because you can't print them. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have this huge archives of about 15,000 TV commercials on the site.
Wow.
So that you can just sort of go through it like an old museum.
And are you familiar with AdCritic.com?
Yeah.
And I assume that now you have a similar approach in that you archive TV spots and so forth. So,
I started archiving back in 1999.
Wow!
Which is when Peter Beckman used to own AdCritic, which he then sold to AdAge.
And you know, which is owned by VNU, which I guess is out of your area up there in the Netherlands, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah,
VNU has a lot of ownership of various advertising-related media vehicles. It may be easier to mention what they don't own, Ray, rather than what they do own.
You mean like Clear Channel?
Clear Channel or Crane Communications and a few others. But also on your website, you have you post ad links for people that might want to visit various websites. I assume you also post ad blogs or blogs for other people that are blogging out there about advertising or various other topics?
Oh, yeah. There's about 500 links in the links area alone. just through advertising agencies and other people's ad blogs. And if you're trying to find a production company or a director, the links are there. And all kinds of advertising collection sites.
Yeah, I would encourage you. And again, it's ad-rag.com. I assume adland.com was already taken, huh?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. We're going to have to spam them after the show. Give us a sense of the difference between European advertising and advertising in the U.S., apart from the fact that U.S. Advertising tends to have larger budgets over here, I guess.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, but the larger budget in the U.S. is basically the same as the large budget accounts that we have in Europe that go pan-European.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's actually more similar than one might think, especially when in New York City right now, the hottest agency you have is a British agency with top Swedish creatives.
Right.
So U.S. advertising is actually more European than one might expect, and vice versa. We air a lot of ads over here that are simply dubbed American ads, like the Dentine Ice commercial with a woman in the subway, and she writes down her phone number and stuff, and nobody here understands it because you don't ask girls for their phone numbers here.
That is a big...
Well, they give them out there? Is that what they do? You don't have to ask?
You don't have to ask. You get them free.
We're so gadget freaks. We'll just beam them over from our mobile phones.
Oh, you will. And I'm going to talk about that because you guys over there do have a much greater handle on wireless technology and the movement of information from point A to point B. But before we do that, you said something that is a real surprise to me. I would think that in this global advertising community that we're supposed to be living in today, that ad agencies in New York and London and elsewhere would be taking cultural considerations when developing advertising as opposed to taking ads that were created in the U.S. and just dubbing in the local language.
Yeah, they should. I mean, there's specific agencies for translating things because, like, if you in English... you fall over and bite the dust, then in German you bite the grass. So if you make a visual about somebody biting the dust, it won't work in Germany.
Hmm.
And things like that you have to think about all the time. And there's a mistake that Coca-Cola makes in Scandinavian market. Every Christmas they try to market Coke, but we already have a traditional soft drink for Christmas. So we're not buying Coke.
You know, that is very surprising. We've talked here on the advertising show for a long while about how mistakes were made 10, 15 years ago when companies in the U.S. began doing multicultural advertising, in particular Spanish efforts, and they would take an advertisement and just basically translate it to a Spanish version. And what happens is, you had some issues with the name of a car that ended up translating to "Don't Go." And I think
Chevy Nova, right.
Exactly. And then we had
the Chevy Nova didn't go, so it's okay.
That's true. But then you also had the issue of "I'm a pepper, you're a pepper," and in Spanish, that's not a complimentary thing to be calling people. But that's very interesting. Let's talk. We've got just about a minute and a half left in this segment, Osk. You guys are very way ahead of the curve in terms of your wireless communication. Give us kind of a sense of what goes on with that.
Well, I mean, everybody's sending picture messages to each other now because everybody has a camera phone, which is tremendously annoying if you're trying to, like, sit at a cafe and you get all these photographs from people who see you at the cafe. Like, hi, I'm across the street. But it does get funny, actually.
And you get advertising through your phone.
Yeah, tremendously annoying. It's like, we call them spasms. Mm-hmm. You get SMS advertising because you usually have your phone on vibrator or something and you spaz out when it starts advertising to you. If I drive across the bridge and I end up in Sweden, I'll get an ad spasm to my phone saying, "Welcome to our mobile phone network." And it's tremendously annoying to get those. I mean, I know I'm driving across the bridge to Sweden.
So technology sometimes isn't the best thing, but we still would like to find out a little bit more about that. Osk Veppling is our special guest here on the Advertising Show with Ray Schillins along with Brad Forsyth. And we've got two more segments with Osk coming back. We've got the Wacky World of Marketing. Also have Andy Borowitz joining us this hour. So if you went anywhere, you know, like for a sandwich or something like that, you'd miss all this stuff. Why would you want to do that? Stick around on the Advertising Show. We'll be right back.
And now, it's time for the Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads across the Atlantic, where a Swiss firm is planning to prove a new car they've developed can travel on land, sea, and air by driving it across the English Channel. The James Bond-style car, which will be unveiled at a motor show in Geneva in March, has folding wings and a high-tech hydraulic system which allows it to lift off over water. Swiss engineering company Rinspeed designed the sports car for the man that has everything else. The firm says the Rinspeed Splash will drive into the waters off the coast of France and after a while take off to complete the rest of the journey in the air. Very James Bond-like. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Advertising Show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. There's you got your Old Spice on this weekend, don't you?
You're sitting too close.
You know, they tried to bring that back. I don't think that came back very successfully.
Yeah, they were targeting young kids for that. Can you imagine?
Gee.
You go from your grandfather to young kids on one clean swoop there.
Okay, and all they needed to do was run an ad in the Super Bowl. Wrong. Ask Beppling is our special guest out of Copenhagen, Denmark this weekend. We've got she is the creator and the chief executive officer of Adland, and we talked about the websites. We'll tell them again, ad-rag.com and commercial-archive.com. Really, what it is, it's the state of the ad industry in Europe, and we're happy to have you on the show.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, good. It's at a great website. I would encourage our listeners to visit. And, Ray, you mentioned the Super Bowl. I'm curious, Ask. We just finished last weekend our annual, 76th annual, actually, Academy Awards, what we call in the marketing business the Super Bowl for women. Is the Academy Awards and the Super Bowl as big of a deal in Europe as it is here in the U.S.?
Well, the Super Bowl has gotten to be as big of a deal. They show it and they open pubs until, you know, the wee hours in the morning, so they get to show it on big screen TVs and sell lots of pints of Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get it on most channels and you can watch it all night. It's just that when the game's over, it's 6 o'clock in the morning.
So
and then you have to go to work on a Monday.
One heck of a party.
So the Academy Awards does not bring the same crowd out and people don't stay up late for it, I would
assume. Well, a lot of people do stay up for the first awards, but by 2 p.m. they're falling asleep.
Well, I think we all know here in the U.S., anyone that's traveled to Europe, I don't even think you have to travel to Europe to know that Europeans have a much more broader and more accepting attitude towards sex. I'm curious what the take was on Janet Jackson's so-called, quote-unquote, what I'm calling Nipplegate, or what also could be known as... what would it be, Ray? It was a malfunction. Costume malfunction. But did it make as much of a big deal with the European community as it did here in the U.S.?
No, the big deal here was more the American reaction to it.
Is that right?
Very interesting.
Because we were thinking, okay, why is it that Janet Jackson gets blamed for the Nipplegate and nobody mentions Justin?
Exactly. Well, you know, I think so. What are the attitudes about sex and advertising in Europe? And I don't mean together; I mean separately. Is sex used frequently in advertising in a general sense throughout Europe?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of advertising that is very sexy here, but the difference is there's not that many ads that can get away with being sexist, because we do have lots of agencies that fine people for sexist advertisements. So it's okay to show a nude woman for a perfume ad, it's not okay to degrade the nude woman.
Oh.
So some ads just can't pass because they're sexist rather than sexy.
So that's interesting. You know, we had a outdoor specialist on the program a couple months ago, and we asked him about outdoor advertising in Europe, and he was just falling all over himself to be complimentary of outdoor execution, as well as the selectivity of how outdoor is used in Europe versus the U.S. Can you give us some sense of outdoor and execution, as well as the more strategic placement of outdoor throughout Europe?
Well, yeah, it's just like in the States, you usually have the really big 94-sheet posters at the end of the highways, And here we have the big posters are in the cities, so you can be much more selective where you place the poster. For instance, there was this really outrageous poster that was running for Playboy in Germany, where there was just a close-up shot of a woman's cleavage in a Playboy T-shirt. And when it rained, you could see through this T-shirt. This couldn't be placed outside of schools or anything.
Right.
So they placed it in the inner cities, like close by nightclubs and that sort of thing, so the crowd was right.
Well, I was going to say, when it rained, was a crowd that would form in front of the board?
No, but it was a really good effect, actually. I've never seen that used for, well, something like Playboy before.
What would happen if it got cold?
Well, we don't want to get into that.
Posters is coming next.
Well, I don't want to get into any, you know, crazy descriptions here, but Ray just doused his T-shirt with some water, and right now...
Or 7-Up.
7-Up. It's foaming all over the studio here. Do media habits, Ask, in Europe differ widely from those in the U.S., or is television the dominant media, and then the web, et cetera? Or how does it work there?
Well, I think when you go to the U.K., media people are more, I don't know what to call it, more on the job, on the ball, really. They make sure that certain ads that are connected to certain TV shows end up during that TV show. So it's just been debated in the States. It's called situmercials or something like that.
So you consider the content or the environment in which you're advertising
it. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to go out and have just long liquid lunches. You're supposed to figure out where exactly the ad goes, and then you tailor the ad to that place.
Is that a result? We have less than a minute left. Is that a result of just needing to make sure that the dollars are working more effectively, or are they just smarter about it over there?
Well, I think it's partly to do with being much smarter about it, because ads that aren't correctly targeted end up being just spam. It's like when I get Viagra mail. It's pointless. So you need to really concentrate on where you're putting the message, because so that you reach the right people. And I think they take that very seriously around here.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We have 30 seconds left in this segment, and you know, I know that Viagra email is troublesome because Ray right now is taking some Midol, and I don't really know why he's doing that, but he said he's seen so much advertising on it.
You're out of Viagra. On the advertising show is Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth, and our special guest is Ask Vepling out of Copenhagen, Denmark. And we'll be back. She's the CEO and creator of Adland. Great website. Check it out if you can. Stay with us here on the advertising show. Back in just a minute.
You're listening to the advertising show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Stronger than dirt. New Ajax.
This is the advertising show. Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth. Notice how they didn't say the product name, and they got you into the song and let you sing it and then remember it and then came in with the Stronger Than Dirt Ajax. Good classic spot.
Not older than dirt. But stronger than dirt.
No, you're older than dirt. So am I. okay, maybe not. Maybe, but you're getting there, okay?
Oh, well, thank you.
When you hit 50, you're getting close.
Thank you.
Ask Vepling is our special guest. Dabich is the actual name that you might read some of the things that you find on the website. She's also the creator and CEO of Adland, and we talked about the websites, ad-rag.com, commercial-archive.com. So glad to have you on the show, Ask. It is much later there in Denmark than it is here on the advertising show this weekend. Thanks for not falling asleep during the show. We appreciate that.
Yeah. through the magic of fiber optics, you sound like you're next door, so congratulations there. You mentioned we were talking off the air. I think our audience would be interested in knowing where do your visitors to ad-rag.com, where do they come from? Is it all over Europe? And give us some sense of the volume of visitors you have each day or each week.
Yeah, well, the World Wide Web is what it is. The visitors, they come from, like, Brazil, Japan, Holland, Denmark, Sweden, Finland, and so on, and the U.K. and the U.S., of course. But the U.S. is not on the top of the list. It's down by number 15 or so. A lot of Canadians come by, too. I don't know why we're more popular in Canada.
And so any recent achievements in total numbers for your site?
Yeah, that's why we're having a party tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had 8.6 million visitors so far, which is more than the population of my home country.
Wow. I think Ray was asking, what facility will you be holding this in? It must be large, huh?
Let's see if I can get that Ben-Hur Stadium.
Yeah.
It's more burgers than McDonald's sold, right?
So, you know, how did you come across the advertising show? Ray and I stumbled across the advertising show being posted on your website after the first of the year, and curious how you found us.
Actually, there's a small part of Adland that isn't reachable by everybody. It's called AdLift, and that's where the Adland amigos and myself hang out all day.
Hmm.
And people on the ad list have tuned into the show, so they started talking about it. So that's how I found it.
Yeah, anyone that doesn't believe the web, the internet is pervasive as well as viral. I mean, my goodness, you know, we are showing hits on our website from as a result of being posted on your website, as far away as country, Paris, France and Spain and all the countries that you just described are showing as hits at our website. So it's been a great relationship. I want to get into Generation E, what we call here Generation E, which is the European Union, which is certainly just nothing more than just the bringing down of barriers where people in Europe are traveling across boundaries now and mixing with one another, whereas not so many years ago there was a lot of nationalism throughout Europe. What changes do you see going on now in Europe as it relates to, dollar that you people are using over there now, as well as not being able to travel more freely, et cetera?
Well, yeah, it's definitely the travel more freely thing. Everybody's moving around, and it's so much easier to just, you know, cross the bridge and enter another country, and you don't even need a passport anymore. That's quite interesting. But also, the big problems with Europe is they always have to meet and sort of sort out laws that work for all the countries. So if Scandinavia has been really strict about, for instance, not advertising to children and not advertising alcohol, they're trying to push the rest of the EU to do the same thing. And in Europe right now, channels move from the country they used to broadcast from to other countries where you can broadcast children's advertising or alcohol advertising, and then they follow the law of the land. But they might be broadcasting to countries where alcohol advertising is banned.
Hmm.
So now they're trying to make the law be so that it follows the country where you see it rather than the country where it's aired from.
Well, that's interesting. Some are suggesting that it's watering down what used to be specific cultural values that were unique to Germany or France or whatever, and many of the older generation are pretty much against this, that I understand. Is that correct?
Yeah, but it's actually having quite the opposite effect. It's more provincial now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're a Catalan in Spain, you feel better being it within Europe rather than... So you're Portuguese within the European community rather than just a person from the European community. You feel sort of a sense of belonging with the European community, but at the same time you're very proud of your exact spot in the world.
Well, I think that's a great point to end on. I encourage everyone, again, ad-rag.com, a wonderful website, Adland. It usually goes very fast, Ray, when we have a great guest, and Ask is no exception. So thanks again for joining us, Ask.
Thanks for being on the Advertising Show. Ray Shillins, Brad Forsyth, Ask Veppling. Go to ad-rag.com or commercial-archive.com. We'll be back with more in just a minute on the Advertising Show.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is the Advertising Show.
You know me. Would you believe I'm Bugs Bunny? I'm also the voice of many other cartoon characters. But in here, they don't care if I'm Elmer Fudd. So I carry an American Express card, the one card I need for travel and entertaining, for business and pleasure. Why, without this, the only way I'd get any attention is by saying, that's all, folks.
It's the American Express commercial. It's funny, we talked about the new Tiger spot for American Express, and then Carl Malden for a while, and of course that is Mel Blanc, the late Mel Blanc.
Right. Does he have a son that did voice work as well?
Boy, yeah, he sounds just like him.
Does he?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It's very good. Thanks to Ask Veppling for being part of our show this weekend. Ask had to stay up way past her bedtime because they are, seven hours ahead, I believe.
Having a big party.
Yes.
Because they have millions of visitors. They just passed their, 8.6 something?
8.6 million.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So drink up. Okay, now stop. Take another drink. It's kind of a game we play here.
These are really.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. We've got Andy Borowitz still to come this quarter hour as we wrap things up. We've got Lanier Timmerlin. Timmerlin McLean is the agency.
Mm-hmm.
And Lanier will be on with us. And Lanier is a man.
Wonderful man and very creative individual and is about to be inducted into the Advertising Hall of Fame, and we're catching him the week prior, the weekend prior, of his induction. So
Will there be a parade or a concert or anything
here
like
in
that?
The studio? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You bring the music then, okay? Bring the chip dip.
You have a whole library of it over there.
That's true. We can do that.
It's all royalty free.
Let's do Andy Borowitz right now in the Advertising Show.
Hi, this is Andy Borowitz for the Advertising Show. And now, here's this week's feature from The Borowitz Report.
Only moments after The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King completed its clean sweep of the Academy Awards in Los Angeles last Sunday night, two unemployed hobbits robbed a 7-Eleven in nearby Studio City, making off with over $300 and an assortment of bite-sized snacks. So much for the hobbits being gentle folks at Sergeant Ron McLeod of the LAPD Studio City Division. When these bastards are out of a job, they're a freaking menace to society. A spokesman for New Line Cinema, anxious to keep the hobbit robbery from casting a pall over the studio's 11 statuette sweep, denied that the Lord of the Rings trilogy's coming to an end was solely responsible for the hobbit's current high unemployment rate, reportedly hovering around 100%. But Dr. Kevin Peterson, a professor of economics at the University of Minnesota, said that with tens of thousands of unemployed and embittered hobbits suddenly out in the street, the situation is potentially an explosive one. These hobbits have essentially been on the gravy train for the past 5 years, Dr. Peterson said. But the only skills they've developed are running through forest and popping out from behind trees, neither of which is terribly marketable in this economy. Democratic presidential candidate Senator John Edwards picked up the theme this past week, telling a New York audience, "We are living in two Americas, one for the rich and privileged, and one for the unemployed hobbits." In other Oscar news, experts said this past week that Diane Keaton style had now officially crossed over from Annie Hall to Hasidic Rabbi.
This is Andy Borowitz, and this has been a special edition of the Borowitz Report from the Advertising Show. To read more reports or to receive daily email alerts, log on to BorowitzReport.com. This is Andy Borowitz saying, keep it fake, baby.
And how amazing, too, the fact that, our President Kerry, President John.
Getting ahead, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm getting ahead here. No, that'll be an interesting battle, too.
Yeah.
Shortly after Kerry won and Edwards dropped, and Bush called him.
He did?
Yeah.
What did he call him?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's probably personal.
Talking now about, McCain joining him, and, of course, they forgot to check the party there. I think McCain's a Republican.
Well.
And he's because he's Vietnam buddies.
Republicrat.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how all that goes. Yeah, I don't know about you, Ray, but during the interview with Osk, what I found interesting about that was that she mentioned about how they take American creative and just translate or dub the words in over to whatever the local language would be.
Sure.
And yet don't take into consideration cultural differences. Mm-hmm. That I found very interesting. And then, of course, what I call the forbidden fruit syndrome, which is we in America getting an uproar about, Janet Jackson's breast. Now, and it is the forbidden fruit issue because in Europe, topless is not something unusual.
Sure.
Drinking.
Look at Ogilvie's book.
Exactly. Drinking underage at the dinner table is okay to do. So as a result, when you get older, you don't want to, abuse sex or alcohol.
No.
We don't abuse sex here, do we?
I don't think so.
I still think you're sitting too close to me.
Yeah, right.
But no.
There's a glass wall between the two of us.
Can you imagine the heyday they had with us Americans? And I'm not, I don't know how I feel about that. Reacting to all of that Janet Jackson stuff.
Nah.
It's like, hey, folks, have you checked MTV lately? Do you know what's going on some of this stuff anyway?
Well, I think it's okay. We can laugh at ourselves because we can laugh at them, too. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Lanier Timmerlin, Chairman Emeritus, that is, And he's coming up next weekend on the Advertising Show. And it's Timberland McLean, sure. And you've spoken with him, yeah. And it's just going to be a great interview. Thanks to Osk, and also to our guest earlier, the last hour, Mark Walsh out of New York. Yeah. So, man, we've been all around the world today.
We have.
And I'm tired.
I can guess we can tired, right? put our paperwork away.
Yeah, I guess we can. The Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. Don't forget to go to the website. TheAdvertisingShow.com is that place. And you can actually download a commercial-free version of that just moments after the song ends here. How about that?
Yeah.
That's amazing. We'll see you next week.